Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, people. Welcome to.
She's,
if it's Wednesday, if it's
already singing.
Okay, good, darling. Good.
She's raising the bar
on Blog Talk Radio.
There you go.
If it's Wednesday, if it's 1 o'clock, you know you are with us. Thank you for joining us at this. You know, a lot of people are sad. This week, right? Because
yeah,
it's weird.
The
because,
end of the summer.
You know, when we did our show for the 4th of July, and we said it then.
Yeah.
Right after this.
Look at us now.
It's going to speed up.
It's after Labor Day already.
And before you know it, you're seeing Halloween stuff in Duane Reade. And then by the end of this month, you'll be seeing Thanksgiving.
Forget about that. I saw the little kiddies waiting on the bus stop this morning.
Yeah.
First day of school for all the little kids.
Oh, I remember.
I miss those days, you know.
You miss going to school?
No.
Oh,
taking my daughter to school.
Yeah.
No, I
was going to say, miss it. I remember this time of year, not in my stomach the size of my head,
mm-hmm.
having to go back to school. I just never liked it. It's like,
yeah.
you know. The last week, you say, oh, I wish I did this, I wish I did that over
right.
the summer. And, you know, here we are, but that's life. But here we are, another season approaching us, and we had a nice summer. And
a nice, great year coming ahead.
Yeah, and that's really it. Every season,
yeah.
I think, has its beauty and has its, you know, memorable moments,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
First of all, before, I am so rude. I have to introduce the ladies behind the mic. That's what my job is. If nothing else, that is what my job is. To my left and always
right.
close to my heart.
And no, always right.
Hardly. Close to my heart is a lovely Lee Ziegelman.
Yay.
Give yourself
That's
a round
me.
Of applause.
Well,
yeah, come on.
They just didn't want to
That's
do
okay.
it.
That's okay.
Because
they're waiting for Mama to come on.
Yeah.
Lori Towers is me. Get, I dare you to boo me. I dare you. I just double dog dare you. Like in the Christmas story, it was double dog dare.
I've never seen that.
That was, oh my God.
That's so funny because that's like one of Steve's favorite movies.
You want to know something? It's one of those movies that's always in the background
mm-hmm.
around the holidays.
Right.
And I know on Christmas Day, they have it, I think, 24 hours. So it's just literally in the background. And if you're having people over.
Right, you keep it on.
You just, yeah, you just have it there. And
it's like a Yule log.
You know what? It's very sweet in its way, and it makes a nice little message. And just about, I think everybody has that, regardless of faith or...
No, of course.
It's everybody has that
I wasn't
holiday.
Brought up watching Hanukkah movies, I have to say that.
Well, I got to ask you something. How many were there?
None.
And see, now, this is where...
No Hanukkah movies.
I'm gonna step up to the plate and say something here, being born a strict Roman Catholic. When people say... There was a Yeah, well, it's not that big a shock being a Roman Catholic. But okay, whatever, I'll take that.
Stepping up to the plate.
Oh, I always do that. I think you've seen the it was a one of these rake and bass, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. There's a little drummer boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is just a beautiful story
yeah, you brought this up in the past.
About faith and love, regardless
right.
of who
mm-hmm.
you're following,
right.
faith and love. That's all that matters, regardless of who you worship. And I remember years ago, they took it off because they just said it was slanted too much to one side religiously. And I remember people in my family saying, well, that's not fair.
Right.
Why'd they take it off? And I said, well, you know what? They should never take anything off. Why don't we create a platform where other holidays can be, you know, an animation about Hanukkah or, you know, Ramadan, anything.
I know.
why do we have to exclude?
Well, we're going to going through layers and layers of everything we've spoken about,
and
because the church rules us.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's, you don't have to eliminate one thing.
No, you could add.
Right. So that no child feels bad. So every child could see their reflection in whatever cartoon they're watching. You know, your pigmentation is represented, your culture, your faith is represented. And I always say, take out the baby Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure a lot of people are going, oh, why did she say that? But take out the baby Jesus in Little Drummer Boy, and you have an absolutely beautiful, beautiful little tale.
Yeah.
That I always say, if it really happened, beautiful. God bless.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret. When I was young, I mean, everybody watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all those animations, Frosty and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And that wasn't so, you know, religious, though.
Of course it wasn't.
That was the Little Drummer Boy I never watched because it always seemed to be very religious.
Well, it was.
Right. And
yeah.
And I just said, you know what? It's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really watched
it. Now think about this.
I guess I can't unless I just watch it on, you know, something that...
You know what? You would love it and you would cry.
Probably.
I have a DVD. You would love it and you would cry because it really is just about love.
Right.
That's really it, and the importance of it, and the value that you have in a life form and your beholden to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you probably would have felt differently if you had something that represented your faith. You know what I'm saying? You probably would have said, you know what, maybe I'm going to look at that. The way I did when I was raised with, you know, being a Catholic, you pretty much had all the holidays catered to you. But I was always interested in other people's religions because, yeah, I felt safe in mine, and I wanted to know about my Uncle Max was Jewish, so I always knew what was going on in as far as the holidays are concerned. And my mother always wanted me to, because it's not just about you.
No.
But you probably would have felt differently if your faith was represented. I bet you.
I don't know, because I was celebrating my faith.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I was interested in anything else about it. And I grew up not knowing much about it because it wasn't something that was in your face all the time.
Right.
I know more about Christmas, and I know more about Easter, and I know more about those holidays because I was raised, and I hate to say it, in the Catholic world.
And that's the shame of it.
You know, unless I was more in tune with my religion, I didn't know much about it.
That's what I'm saying. They should have left Little Drummer Boy on and honored the children of other faiths.
Right.
By creating a cartoon or something.
Right.
Not that hard to do.
No.
So that every child could say, okay, you know what? It's not just the Christmas season, it's a holiday season. And everybody could enjoy.
That's the big stir up every year now,
Christ out of Christmas. The thing is, my challenge is always, Christmas is about Christ. Absolutely, keep it. But Christmas is the 24th and 25th. The entire month of December is not Christmas. It's the holiday season, and we're talking about
The lead up to Christmas. That's what it is.
The whole thing is, it's Christmas.
I think
Hanukkah,
this is a great category,
Kwanzaa,
because this is
everybody.
What everybody just, everything leads up to something, and it's all about the big dollar. It's all about the big dollar. What sells and what doesn't sell.
Well, you know, again, you know, there's, and I don't want to quote, I'm a big Beatles fan, but there's a quote in one of George Harrison's songs, the Lord is Waiting on You All. The quote is, it's a great line, the Pope owns 51% of General Motors, so the stock exchange is the only thing he's qualified to quote us. And that's really it. The Vatican owns a lot in this country, and that's why they have more power than the NRA. And we're not going to go into that dialogue here because that's another totally different show. But this is why there are so many leanings towards Christianity and every belief system and every commandment that we're breaking and so on and so forth. And that's what's inherently wrong. And
this is going to be a great lead-in to our guest today, because I'm going to tell you, because of this topic, my daughter, which I know she's listening right now, she has more guts than I ever had, okay? Because when we were young, you know, when she was young, actually, and I was young, I didn't go around saying, oh, you know what, I'm Jewish, you know, don't tell me, you know, happy Merry Christmas or stuff like that. But she right now, she'll just, I'm sorry, but I'm Jewish.
That's definitely me.
I think that's such a great thing.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, I didn't have the balls to do that.
You know, and that's, I think, what's going to be good about our discussion with her.
Mm-hmm.
It's how far do we push it without being insulting?
Right.
How much is too much? Because the thing is, we have to have an ongoing dialogue to elicit change. We always have.
That's what protesting is.
And that's even a form of protest in the form of art. We
right.
have to have something, but when does it become something that we say, I can't watch that? Because it said this, that, and that, and I disagree with it. And, you know, I always think, if I don't agree with something, I won't say, take it off the air. I will say, I'm not going to watch this.
No,
this is not for me.
Change the channel.
But see, this is what we need.
Mm-hmm.
We need the constant back and forth and push back and say, well, you know what? Sometimes to make a statement, and I'm going to approach this carefully, sometimes making a statement, we have to be controversial. But how far before we insult a lineage of protest groups? And I think that's what we're going to be discussing today. So you want to bring that lovely daughter on?
I
want
to bring up my apple of my eyes.
Ricky,
are you there?
I am.
Hey, darling. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you, sweetheart? Thank you for joining us.
Don't be embarrassed and don't be nervous.
Me. I'm not.
Okay.
You know,
you just said I have the balls to say everything, so I'm not nervous.
Okay.
You should. And you know, the thing is, and this is what my thought for the show was. You know, we're certainly older than you, and the things that were controversial back in the day with us, by today's eyes would seem so benign and so like, well, why was that a big thing then? But at that point, we had the platform because anything we said wasn't said already, so we can say it and we're making a point. But now with certain shows, there has to be more blood. There has to be more gratuitous sex. There has to be more things that shock the general public to make a statement. So when have we gone too far? What do you think the parameters are, and where have you seen it?
Well, for certain, like, there's always going to be that one person that wants to, like, say or do, like, the most shocking thing in the room. And that is, like, exactly the point of this. And it's, like, when does it go too far for it to be offensive?
Mm.
And when it does get offensive, why aren't you apologizing for it? Like, what makes it so unapologetic? And why are you so passionate that, like, offending a whole group of people is worth it? So this ties back to the show Insatiable that we had planned to talk about, which just premiered on Netflix like almost a month ago. It's a Netflix original starring Debbie Ryan, who's a Disney star that I haven't heard of her since Disney. And they brought her on this show as publicity, and it did not work because it's gotten so much backlash from it because it's blatantly fat shaming and not being representational of other body types, and it's very anti-body positivity. And the creator of the show claims that it's like an autobiography in a sense, which is fine and like great. I'm glad that you had the guts to share that, but when it goes too far and it offends a group of people, is it worth it?
See, now that's what I wanted to lead into.
Mm-hmm.
How do we cultivate dialogue? I mean, because now we're of a generation that's totally saturated in social media, so everything has to be over the top. So our ground rules have changed over the decades. So how do we make a point? See, we have gotten so excessive in so many different things. How do we have a dialogue based on just some sort of common ground and understanding somebody else's point of view, unless we have, and Ricky, I'm agreeing with you on this, unless we have something over the top to challenge and say, you know what, I'm going to protest this because it's that. That creates the dialogue. I'm not saying it's the right type of dialogue, But it in a way, it creates a dialogue, whereas maybe people wouldn't understand it.
Right. Well, it pushed your buttons, Ricky.
And
right?
that's what I'm saying.
Right. But that's what they do. It pushes your buttons.
But what's too far? No, I didn't see any of the show. Did you, Ricky?
No, I purposely
didn't watch it
because I didn't want to be a statistic or a viewer.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that, like, on Netflix's end or whoever sees who views the show, they don't know the difference between someone that's watching the show for enjoyment or someone that's just watching it to, like, tear it apart, which is kind of what I'm doing. And one viewer is just, like, another step closer to, like, making a season two or giving it more funding. And I want the show to be canceled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a nice thing. And you're right. Like, it did open a dialogue, but did they have to make it so problematic? Like, there were 1,000 different routes that the show could have taken to get its point across.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix seems to have this, like, weird affinity with revenge shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's what we should be teaching people.
The public.
Like, kids
mm-hmm.
and the youth. Because
right.
that's their target audience, is that, like, all of these shows target people that are, like, 16, 17. And, like, believe me, if I was in high school, I would have ate this up. Like, this would have been, like, a great show. But now that I'm older and wiser, like, I don't think that this should be the show that kids are watching.
Yeah.
Because you have these younger people that, like, maybe have a few extra pounds on their body thinking that they're not okay and they're not welcomed, and they are. And then you have the mean girls watching it who think it's okay to belittle these people that don't look like them.
Right, they mimic them.
Right, and that's it's setting an example that this is the okay thing to do, and it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I'm just going to give a quote from Lauren Gussis, who said, "I wanted to poke fun at all those things through comedy, but every single one of the issues of these characters that we're struggling from were eating disorders to body dysmorphia to sexuality to needing outside power and validation to wanting to be perfect to mental illness. And I've struggled with every single one of those."
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, I see it's kind of cathartic. She wanted, and again, this is not 40 years ago with Norman Lear pushing buttons on
right.
all the family.
Because this exists in the real world.
This is something that we have to go a couple of steps too far.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use that pattern. Too far to get a point across in this society. So now, Ricky, as a producer, how would you have handled this?
As a producer?
Mm-hmm. What would you have done differently?
I wouldn't have picked up the show at all.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody came to me and said, "Can you produce this?" I would have said, "No,
mm-hmm.
this is a bad concept. This is really problematic, and this is going to cause a lot of controversy and not in a good way." You know, like, how much publicity is good publicity?
Mm-hmm.
Not everything is great. So
right.
if I was a producer, I wouldn't have picked it up in the first place. Or I would have advertised it as something, like, if they're doing it to make a statement, I would have made a statement, not just come off as offensive. Like, not every statement is, like, as outwardly there. Sometimes you have to dig deep to really understand what it is. And if that's the type of show that this is, then their marketing and publicity people have done a really terrible job.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's based on current culture, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I always think back to, oh, my God, what year did it come out? Ricky, you might have even seen this.
What movie?
Spike Lee, the first one that came out. Oh, my God, I forgot what it was. But I can't think of the name now, but in every...
Brooklyn?
No, it was way before that. She's got to have it, but it was something. And in every one of his movies, the N-word is seasoned like Parmesan cheese on macaroni.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
his thinking is, no, again, NYU grad, highly intelligent, knows exactly what he's doing, but his sense was, we got to get the word out there enough so that people know how ugly it is, so that people understand the gravity this word had to generations before. And I remember sitting and watching, and I've always been a fan of his, and you just cringe every time it's said. And you just say, oh, my God, Do the Right Thing was the first movie.
Do the Right Thing.
And you know, as a Caucasian, you just sit there and cringe, and you have every inch of white guilt, you know, stirring that. But his point was, we have to say it as often as we can, and it's offensive.
Mm-hmm.
But in the offensiveness, maybe we won't use it as freely. Now, I have to say, I disagree with him on that because I know that that word is used far too liberally.
Much
it's
too
used
much.
As a term of affection, mm-hmm. which is just ridiculous because you could never use that as an affectionate term.
No.
So I disagree. I mean, I understand what he was going for, but I don't think it had the right effect.
It was pushing
but,
the same buttons as, you know, the same character, I guess,
but it
we're talking about.
It was, I remember, so many protest groups out. Mm-hmm. They were trying to shut it down for different showings in different neighborhoods. But it got people talking.
Right. Rick, has anybody else in your circle watched this show?
My roommate Taylor watched it, and I came home from work one night, and he said, this show is really, really bad. Like, not even just, like, a bad television show, but, like, just, like, it's pushing too many buttons. Like,
really?
There are more offensive jokes on it than I even knew about, like, because I had just watched the trailer, and I'd seen one screen cap where it said bisexuals are invalid, which
mm-hmm.
is actually really funny, because in her quote that you just read to me before, she was, like, saying that she's trying to validate all of these stereotypes and whatever, but she... In the show, it literally says that bisexuals are invalid. So that's not correct.
Right.
It's just
well,
like,
of course not.
If you produce a show like this and you say it's your personal narrative, but you see how many people that you're offending, just apologize. Say, like, that wasn't my intention, and just apologize. Like, that is, it doesn't make sense to me that, like, you're still going along with it. Like, you've offended a group of people. Just say sorry, and that wasn't your intention. But the fact that she's still standing by, like, this is my narrative and this is what it is, like, that's what really annoys me, and that's what really grinds my gears. Because now, like, someone like me, who is a bigger girl and who is bi, like,
mm-hmm.
that's literally saying that, like, I don't exist and my opinions aren't valid, and, like, in a social setting, I am inferior, which is not true. I was bullied in high school and middle school, but it wasn't because I was a big girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not a representation of what social, like, how school is and what the social life is like at school. That's not it. That's not how things go anymore. And, like, I don't understand. Like, we've grown so much as a society in how we treat other people. Like, we're so much more accepting of the LGBTQ community and the body types, and we've come so far. Why are we going backwards?
I totally agree with that.
And you know something? The one thing that I'm going to say, and I definitely stand by what you're saying, because unfortunately with this administration, I see us going back. I see us going further and further back every single day. But see, shows like this, and I agree with everything you're saying, keeps the hot topic on the table, and it makes us possibly, and look, let's be serious, you're going to have a group of people that are going to see this show, and they're going to feel what they feel, and these people have no right to live, and blah, 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 they shouldn't be able to marry, blah, blah. There are always going to be a group of people that say that, and they sit very far to the right. But the people that I hope are out there and maybe clear of thought, maybe sitting middle of the road, might see, you know what, I agree. You know, shows like this back in the day were called by the movie houses water cooler conversation, because the next day you gathered at the water cooler and it gave you something to discuss. Unfortunately, now with the stakes so high, it's incendiary. It just people just are on fire, and we don't have topics that can go to a discussion and not a shout. And I think that's the problem.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, everything right now is controversial.
You know,
like, you can't say one thing without somebody disagreeing with you. So, yeah, that's absolutely correct.
It's the same thing as we're talking, let's say we were talking about The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
It's the same basic, you know, it's a water cooler topic. It's bad.
Yeah.
People talk about it, and people don't want that to happen.
Well, see, that was just women oppression. I mean, that had more layers to it.
Exactly.
But this seems
to... would a woman's movement feel about that?
Right. But this seems to have, and again, I haven't seen it, offend on a multi-level way. I mean, you're offending people of different sexuality. You're offending somebody who's a different body type, and the list goes on and on. But isn't that pretty much what society does anyway? And
right.
This is what I'm saying. This is why there might be a prayer when people are discussing this. Maybe some like-minded people will say, well, you know what? I agree, and this is not the way we want.
We shouldn't be put in the face. I agree
with protests, and I've been on protests. I think it's a wonderful thing to say and get your message out and push back.
Yes.
Well, I think, like, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But what is, like, more worth the risk? Is it more worth, like, putting out the show and being and having a water cooler topic? Or would you rather have all of these girls traumatized because they think that they're lesser than the girls that are skinny and blonde?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Is it worth it to you? I guess it is because your show's on Netflix.
You know what I want to ask you, being, and this is. I mean, I always was in one category with this. I think you. I mean, I'm a huge Amy Schumer fan. What did you think of what was the movie?
I don't think she saw it.
Oh,
I don't think she saw it. The one, Pretty Girl. Yeah, she didn't see it.
Oh, okay. Because I mean, I had my own type of feminist feelings about that. I didn't think it. But you know.
But watch that movie, Rick, if you can, because it's almost the same topic as we're talking about, but it's all in the state of mind of how you feel inside, not what you look like. So.
Right. But I feel like promoting body positivity, like, you shouldn't be like, oh, it's about what's on the inside. Like, why can't people be beautiful and big? Like, why are we saying that that's not possible?
Because, of course.
Like, I'm trying, like, self-love is, like, obviously a really, like, long process and, like, everybody's struggling with it.
Yeah, of course.
But, like, I'm at this, like, age in my life where I'm trying to love myself and, like, be myself. But having shows like this on the air and having people enjoy it, like, seeing Facebook statuses from people that graduated from my college that are like, oh, my God, this new show Insatiable is so good. I'm like, what do you think of when you look at me? Genuinely. Like, that's what it makes me second guess.
So let me ask you this. The comments that you're seeing, are you seeing anybody that is of the same value of opinion as yours?
100%. Most people are on my side.
Okay,
but
good.
It shocked me to see all of these people that claim to be so liberal and so, like, open and understanding to enjoy something like this.
Right.
I see what you're saying.
But, you know, I watched the trailer. Isn't it about a girl that was heavy and then she lost weight and then she did revenge on everybody that
was that? I didn't know the premise.
Wasn't that the premise?
Yeah, that's what
right.
The premise of the show is that you can't be in power unless you're skinny.
I see. It's almost, remember that Joan Rivers movie years ago? I was telling Ricky about this. When she lost all that, was it Joan Rivers? Stalker Channing.
Stalker Channing, that's right.
When she lost all that weight and then she got revenge on everybody that used to
put her down.
It's almost just like that.
Yeah, the difference between this show and that movie is that movie was made years ago.
Right, exactly.
And now we're in a time where this should not be okay.
Right. It should be accepted by now.
Right.
It should be.
But everything should be accepted by now, but we're going to always have these doubters and these people that are always going to stir the pot and make things more controversial.
But that doesn't mean I'm not going to fight.
No,
like,
of course, you should.
I don't mind
controversy. That are not going to agree.
Right.
I don't mind controversy if it creates some sort of peaceful dialogue that I think can happen along the trajectory. Because unfortunately, I mean, look, and Ricky, this is way before your time. I was telling your mom before, Norman Lear is like, I think, probably one of the most brilliant progressive minds ever. And the stuff that he brought on All in the Family was groundbreaking and had to get past censors. Now we don't really have censors. Now everything is okay. But he had the first, Beverly LaSalle, who was the first cross-dresser, played by Laurie Shannon, who was birth name was Don Seymour McLean, who was the first openly gay actor on TV. And Norman Lear had him on as the cross-dresser, Beverly LaSalle, for 4 episodes. That was unheard of. And that, I remember, my family going, do you believe it? This guy was a queer, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Norman Lear had him on. But the thing is, they just had to pass the censors.
Mm-hmm.
but it had to be done in a certain way that was had to be very tame, and they got it. But now everything goes.
No, are you kidding me?
Everything. It's
everything
blood,
goes,
guts, and
right.
gores,
and
insults.
I think in a way it's good, and in a way it's bad, because you all
it's
gonna
how we use it.
Right, exactly.
It's how we
use
it.
Well, I mean, like, I always think of, like, the I think that Glee, like, changed the world. I always say this because it had, like, so much LGBTQ representation. Oh,
yes.
Genuinely, it really did. It really did. It was one of those shows that, like, crossed the boundaries a little bit because that something like that had never happened. But they did it in a very lighthearted way that made everybody understand. And, like, now my college, 90% of the student body was gay. You know, like, that's unheard of. Back 10 years ago, you would have never heard of something like that, but then you have a show like Insatiable, which also pushes the buttons, but it does it in a really vicious way. Like, that's what I'm saying. There could have been a show like this that could have been fine, and it could have had the same dialogue, and it could have been so much like less problematic, and it could like I maybe could have watched it and I would have enjoyed it, but because they're so vicious and because they're very blatantly invalidated people that are a little bit bigger and people that are bisexual and probably more people that I don't even know, they ruined it.
Yeah. I remember when the L word first came on.
Yeah.
And that was, and you look at it now, it's very tame, and it was wonderful because it made so many different points, and it wasn't stereotypical, and it wasn't having...
Well, they did that on purpose. They wanted to show the lesbian community the way it was supposed to be.
But that's
not
the way
making,
it is.
Right.
Right. That's the whole thing is we have these stereotypical images in our mind of everything, of everything, culture, everything. So the thing is, if you represent them, not all as one, but it's everybody. If you want to be a little bit more leaning to one side, great. If you want to be, that's fine. But that's the way to do it. And I think that was, 12 years ago? 15 years ago, I think, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
It was a while ago.
Yeah. Did you ever watch that, Rick?
They handled it wonderfully.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, it's a good show.
I think it was great.
Oh, it was done very, I thought it was done very,
Yeah. Well, they were careful. They were careful.
It was on cable. They could have done anything.
Not back at...
Well, they had sex scenes and
stuff. But it's not the way it is now.
I thought it was done very...
I think so. It was very graceful. Very well handled. Yeah, it was very...
Yeah. And comedy added to it.
It was very respectful,
too. That's the word I was looking for.
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at, not to go off this topic, but if you look at, and I'm a big horror movie fan, if you look at old horror movies that never had to show as much blood and guts as they do now, and it was just a camera angle that set the
curiosity.
And it was just your mind that created the image, and that's what scared you, as opposed to intestines all over the place and people tripping over them and getting killed.
Exactly.
But this is what we've become.
Yeah.
So how do we dial that back?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. How do we dial that back and become something that's a little bit more genteel? How do we do that? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like,
you
just have to be really considerate of everything that you produce. Like, you know, like I'm producing this show right now that like deals with LGBTQ,
tell us about that.
The community, and it deals with suicide, and like you have to be really careful, like when you touch suicide. Like that's why 13 Reasons Why on Netflix got so much backlash, is because of how they approach suicide, and you have to like be really considerate because it is such a common thing, which is unfortunate, but it is such a common thing. Everybody has some sort of affiliation with it, and you never like you have to go into it thinking, how can I do this without offending anybody?
Yeah.
But still getting my point across. And that's what I think that the producers of Insatiable lacked in. It was like, let's just do the craziest thing and cause as much backlash as we can, because then we'll at least be getting publicity.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably why they did it.
That's, unfortunately, that's the thing. Well, we sell out our integrity for publicity, and that's what we've always done to some extent or another, which I'm not saying is good.
Right. No, it's definitely not good, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
So tell us about Evelyn.
Yeah, tell the world about Evelyn.
So Evelyn is an original musical by my very good friend Quentin Ellis. He wrote the book, the music, and the lyrics. He's been working on it for almost like 5 or 6 years now. I've been a part of the project for about 3 or 4 since my sophomore year of college, and It is about it's based off of a true story. In 1947, a 23-year-old woman named Evelyn McHale jumped off the Empire State Building and landed on top of a car, and she was in pretty much perfect condition, clutching her pearl. And she wrote in her suicide note that she didn't want to be immortalized and she didn't want to be remembered. But as she dropped on top of the car, there happened to have been a photographer there who took her picture, and she, like, went viral, and it was exactly what she didn't want. So that's basically, you know, the premise of the musical, and so the whole story is about her life up until she killed herself. And there's not, like, a ton of, like, historically accurate information on her, but everything that is accurate is in the show, and we built from there, and it's been, like, such a fun process to do.
And that's heavy because, you know, and that's why, I'm not going to say people become theater snobs. Theater takes your mind. You know what I'm saying? All this is done without smoke screens and mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have
right.
any props. So you're telling a story based on the script, and the
yeah.
script is enough to carry it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the truth is, darker tones like this, you know, you have to really handle right because it's like,
oh,
you know,
it's handled very classy.
I'm looking forward to seeing it because it's, you know, I love the theater and I love musicals and
mm-hmm.
I love leaving happy, but there's also something that I love about having, you know, a discussion afterwards about how you feel about
mm-hmm.
a certain topic.
Right.
And this,
yeah,
and what year was this? You said 1930?
1947.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. We brought it up to Daddy's friend John, and
uh-huh.
he remembers Evelyn jumping off the Empire
wow.
State Building from years ago.
Oh, wow.
He remembered the story about her, but he didn't know
That's
the backstory
nuts.
Of it, but he just remembered she jumped off the Empire State Building.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've never, like, actually spoken to a person that knew what we were talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, he knew right away. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Most jumpers don't get in headlines. You know, they for some reason,
no,
the press does not discuss jumpers. And we have many people that jump
well,
off
they
buildings.
Always say suicide are not
right.
going to heaven.
Well,
you know?
That's
what they say.
That.
Suicide people don't
that.
Go to heaven.
I don't believe
and
that.
A lot of insurance companies don't cover
well,
people that kill themselves.
Yeah,
so
you know,
it's there's a lot about suicide that people don't know about.
Well, I think the craziest thing about Evelyn's case is that she was the fifth person to jump off the Empire State Building at her time. Like, there were four people before her. And
wow, really?
She was the one where they were. She was the one decider that they were like, oh, we can put up a fence. So, like, she's the reason why that there's a wall up at
oh
the 86th floor observatory.
Wow.
After five people, they decided, oh, now it's a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I
Damn.
Mean,
you see, it's the same thing we're talking about. I mean, it has to cause controversy to do something.
Right.
I mean,
right,
you
right,
know,
right.
again, you know, you think of somebody like Virginia Woolf who put rocks in her pockets and just
walked into the
river. But, I mean, I can't, you know, not say, that would not be my choice.
No.
I mean,
well,
you
would die halfway down anyway.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I think your lungs collapse
right, exactly.
probably 50 feet into it, but... What was her? I mean, I don't know if she was officially diagnosed, Rick. But was she? What was her schizophrenia, bipolar? What was her mental illness?
There's no like report of her having a mental illness. The only thing that we have about like the way that she could have been is that her mother left when she was seven.
Oh.
She has five other brothers and sisters, so it was a big family. So I can only imagine, like, how that would have affected the whole family.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think one thing that, like, I found in my research about her, which I thought was really interesting, is that the car that she had landed on top of, the guy had just gotten out of the car. Like,
oh,
he
wow.
ran to the drugstore. Like, he just gotten out. And
oh, my God.
What if he was in it? Like, it would have been a totally
yeah.
different story, because then it's
yeah.
almost... It probably wouldn't have been, like, girl jumps from Empire State Building on top of a car. It would have been, like, girl kills man. Because
yes,
it would have been
yeah, exactly
him.
Right.
Yep.
So that's, like, crazy to me that, like, in a matter of seconds, the whole story could have changed.
Yeah, the
yeah.
story shifted. And how old
yeah.
was she?
23.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
she was
God.
A member of the WAC, the Women's Army Corps.
Oh, my
you know
goodness.
That. She was a bookkeeper. There's like a bunch of random information on her that we've tried to incorporate throughout the show in one way or another.
And they, like I said, they did an excellent job. The first time they did it, how did you do it again? What's it called when you stand it up and you...
We did, so the first one was pretty much a workshop, but it was a staged reading that happened at Marymount Manhattan College, which is where I went to school. And then our second run, I had assistant directed and stage and assistant stage managed, and I did a bunch of the technical work for it. But we did that. It was actually a staged production in our commons area, which is basically kind of like a lounge area where we ate. And it was full costumes. Everybody was on their feet. Everybody was off book for it. And now we finally got a venue that isn't in a school setting. So we're excited to see what that does to the show. And it's on a real stage. It's off Broadway, one night only, and we're super excited about it.
Yeah. That is cool. That is really cool stuff. That is real. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Give everybody the dates, Rick.
Yeah. Oh, November 9th at 10 p.m. That's the date of the show. It's at Dixon Place, which is downtown.
Oh, yeah.
On Christie Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then on October 12th, we're doing a fundraiser cabaret at Don't Tell Mama called the Cast of Evelyn Presents Pop Divas Go 1940s, which is basically going to be like contemporary songs of today with a 1940s twist. So like Demi Lovato in the 40s. So that is on October 12th at 9:30 at Don't Tell Mama.
Oh, we're going to go.
We're all going to go.
And Lee, Don't Tell Mama is right across from Joe Allen.
I know exactly where
I love it. I played there. Love it. Oh, my God, that's great.
Yeah, it's such
Rest
a great
of alley.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see how it's handled because, like, you know, suicide doesn't go over well in theater, but, you know, it's just so important because, I mean, this poor thing was 23 and suffering enough to decide, this is how I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, it's interesting because it's being told and written by his age.
My God.
Yeah.
And, like, understands, you know, it's not an older man trying to tell this younger woman's story.
That's exactly right.
It's a contemporary.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's
I think that's very important.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Right. Well, I think a big problem with musical theater, like, for example, take Head Over Heels, which is the new Go-Go musical.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the Go-Go's were an iconic female band. But the whole producing team is all men.
Yeah.
Like, why are you trying to rewrite the story?
You know, years ago, when I was playing, I always wanted to make sure I was in the band that didn't do any go-go music because, quite frankly, they were really not that good. I mean, the bass player was okay. They were just okay.
Right.
I mean,
there were better
female players out there in progressive rock, but they had the look and they had marketing and blah, blah, blah. But now I could actually appreciate them. You know what? They had some cute stuff.
They weren't great
musicians, but they were. They
but they made a Broadway play out of them, right?
Yes, Head Over Heels.
Oh, God.
Well,
I don't know why either. I don't think they were that big.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I didn't think they should make a Broadway play for Gloria Estefan. I mean, I like the music.
Well, she was more iconic than
the
Go-Go.
But do you really think that they should
make a
play?
I always loved
her.
She had a good love story to add to the play.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, a big problem with musical theater right now is that everything is commercial and everything is, like, part of a franchise. Like, the reason why the band's visit won the Tony for Best Musical is, one, because it's probably incredible. I haven't seen it. But also because the other three were just big franchises brought to stage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which I think it's so important, you know, whether Evelyn makes it or not, the fact that we're trying to produce a new musical on source material that isn't a movie or a TV show is, like, really exciting to me, and I think more people should do it, and that's what I wish was on stage more. Like, don't get me wrong, I love SpongeBob. It was one of the most fun times I've had in a theater. But is it a story that needs to be told? Maybe not.
No.
Yeah, but I think this show is a very good story.
Well, it's important.
Yeah. And, again, you know, Quentin, the one that wrote it, is multi-talented, so.
Well, you know, and I think what's important about it is suicide is always shame.
Yeah.
For the family, for friends, it's always
never
people
brought
always,
out to the forefront.
And you know something? My thinking is, and again, I don't believe in anything, well, you know, you don't get to heaven if you commit. If you're struggling that much that you feel this is your only way out, hate to say it, it's your right to do so. Mm-hmm. I will try to, if you were my friend, I'll try to talk you out of it. But if I can't do that and professionals can't, if you don't want to see tomorrow, It's your right.
Your choice, yeah.
It's your right.
It's your right. Your life.
I will mourn you, but it's your right to go.
Yeah.
I think one of the worst things I've ever heard about suicide is that it's selfish.
Yeah.
That is a really selfish thing to say.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, the reason they
putting
feel selfish
selfishness on somebody else.
Well, it's because everybody that you leave behind that loved you, that's why they say it's selfish.
But you're not in your right frame of mind.
I
you're
understand
suffering.
That. Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, depression becomes an entity on itself. You're not thinking of the wife that you love, the husband that you love, the children that love you. You're just in so much pain, you got to go.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess, thank God I've never been there. I was going to say, there for the grace of God,
right.
We don't know that.
Right.
We don't
and
know
may
that.
We never.
Knock wood. Amen. So, Ricky, before you leave, give us all the information again. We're going to put it on our Facebook page tomorrow. And I think what we should do is have her on the show again before the
Before October.
Yeah,
sure. And then
October, and then
shout out for more, people coming.
Yeah. I think that'd be nice.
Yes, I would love to do that.
Perfect. And maybe you and Quentin could come together. You talk together.
I would love that.
How's that?
Quentin
would love that. Oh,
that would
perfect.
Be great. Okay, good. Very good.
We would. It is November 9th at 10 p.m. at Dixon Place, downtown on Christie Street. And the fundraising cabaret is on October 12th at 9:30 at Don't Tell Mama.
Perfect. We're going to put that all up on the wall tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you so
Thank
much,
you.
We can do.
Thank you, guys.
And you'll
for
be on again.
Yeah, get Quentin ready because we're going to have both of you on.
Okay, I will let him know.
All right.
Thank you, sweetheart. Enjoy your day.
Love you.
Have a good day. Love you, too.
Bye-bye,
baby.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ricky Zugerman. That sounds like a fantastic play.
It really is. I have to tell you, it's very, very, for Quentin's younger than Ricky. He didn't graduate yet. He's graduating this year. And he's so multi-talented, it's not funny. So multi-talented.
That's a very dark theme to take on.
Yeah.
Very dark theme, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up. I had no idea. I mean,
Empire State Building. Yeah.
And like I said, jumpers don't. they don't make headlines.
It's funny because the first play, it started, like I said, it was just like a stage. They were just standing there and they were singing and reading from the script. But, they had one prop that it started off, she jumped off the building, and the photographer came. I think it was from Time magazine at the time.
So you know the early stages of the play that she's
That's how the first one started.
Oh, okay.
The second one started, too, at the end. It goes from the end
because,
to the beginning.
Because, I was wondering if it was just going to be like...
No, it goes from the end
you
to the beginning.
You follow it, and then, that's kind of like Sunset Boulevard, where you know it, and then you go back.
Right, and then you go back.
Okay. Because that's
done brilliantly. I have to tell you, it's done brilliantly.
Because,
you know what I'm saying? These young kids.
Yeah. That's a hell of a theme to take on.
Yeah.
Because nobody, honestly, you go to theater for feel good. Nobody wants
that.
Well,
not all
that,
of them feel good.
But the thing is, you want something like that. Because it's not always going to be Mamma Mia.
Right.
It's got to be... both sides of the coin. That's life, yin-yang.
That's true.
That is
true.
But I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah. October 12th. I thought they were both in November.
Okay.
So remember
October 12th. Ones are we going to? The October 12th one? Which one?
Both of them.
Both of them, yeah. I'll go.
We'll go to the fundraiser.
Hell yeah.
We'll go to the
hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And they're both Friday night late.
I love it. So. I love theater. I love theater. But yeah, but the thing is, the points that she's making about that show, I'd love to see... It's, like I said, it's just like sometimes putting somebody's face on the cold water and shaking things up, I don't know if that wouldn't be my way of doing it. Because
no.
I'm always afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. But
oh, for me?
You wouldn't do it.
I could never do that.
But, again, when you get a script together, and you want to get it noticed, you want to get it funded, you kind of dance with the devil sometimes. Do a little this, do that. And, I'm not saying you forget all your principles and your integrity, but somewhere along the line that might happen,
It depends
But if you dial it back and you say, I did this, so I'm going to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to...
Balance it out.
Right.
Like you said, yin-yang.
Yeah.
If you need to do a little bad, do a little good afterwards.
Or at least, say I'm going to speak for certain women's groups or certain...
Right, just say that's just, you know
gay
real.
Rights, so on and so forth. Because, I mean, look, this sounds like it might have been multi-level shaming.
Right.
Equal opportunity shaming. But, you know, not that that's right.
No.
But see, this is this my
no
my
shaming
concern
is, right.
is in especially in this environment, in this climate, we're two steps away from book banning. We really are. So if we start censoring anything, whether we look, I'm not a fan of the Klan, but I will say they have a right to shout. I don't have a right to
you
shout them.
Right.
No,
I do whatever you
right.
want.
I don't have a right
don't
to
hurt anybody
right.
in the process.
I don't have a right to shut them down, but I have a right to shout them down.
Right, exactly.
And that's the difference.
That's exactly right.
We have to say, I don't agree with the NRA, but they have a right to form and protest, and but I have a right to be on the other side of the street and say, you know what, you're blah,
to
blah,
form
blah,
and
blah,
protest.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, to do
but the
same.
Minute we start saying, you can't do this, it might work when we want it to work, but then all of a sudden it's not going to work when we.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be okay. Well, then you don't have a right to have an abortion. You know what I'm saying? You see how it's going to go, and
right.
it's not going to go to a good place.
There's always going to be two sides to everything.
Right.
Always.
Well, like I said, censorship. I don't know if that ever works because it's going to lead to book banning. It's still the classics that were banned. There's too much at risk.
Yeah.
I'd rather just change the channel. Write to the producer, write to the network, and start writing letters, writing emails, getting a group to,
mm-hmm.
to push back against that, or a group that, okay, if that show is maligning heavier body types, okay, I'm going to start a group that is positive. You know what I'm saying? I'll do something. I don't know if yanking things off the air is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's see what the ratings do, because that's what counts.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter about what we say.
Absolutely. Well, look, the ratings speak for themselves.
Right.
I don't think that anything, look, as much as I hate seeing that person in the White House speak, I can't say he can't. I can't say shut him up. I could think what I want, but I can't say no network should have him on. No network should even interview him. Can't say
Are
that.
You kidding me? That's what they want.
But this is what I'm saying. It just leads us down a very,
right.
very dark hallway, and we're not going to come back from that.
No.
So that's always been my
very
thought.
True.
But protest.
That's
protest.
Exactly right. That's what they're. That's what it's about.
Protest.
You don't
and
like
say
it?
No. And
protest.
Say, get in front of NBC Studios.
Freedom
get in front of
speech.
That's exactly it. Get in front of whatever building they film it.
We worked hard for that freedom of speech. Use it right.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, again, we can't be impulsive and say we shouldn't. We just find a way to make it right within ourselves, within our souls, and
accept it as best as we can.
But you know what? You know, fire is good. Fire is good. Feeling passionate about somebody, having a voice. I'd rather have somebody speaking up than not saying anything and just
mm-hmm.
being passive and letting everything go by and, you know.
It's so funny because, you know, she's my daughter and she's so much more aggressive to stuff than I am, more progressive, maybe because she lives in this time and
mm-hmm.
she's more open to everything mm-hmm. around her. And, you know, I never went to college, so she saw more than
mm-hmm.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
She experienced a lot more than
mm-hmm.
I did, and that's
yeah.
why I think these millenniums know so much now.
Yeah.
And also social media, of course,
right,
which we
right.
didn't have when we were younger.
Of course,
we
didn't.
That's
we
a
didn't.
Big open door
yeah,
for
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
So it's just that these kids are much smarter and more open to everything around them.
Yeah.
They see more. They've been through more.
Well, you know, again,
I... You know, we've been through, you know, 50 years of our lives, but they... It's not that they experience what we experience. They're experiencing something different than we will.
And you know something? Again, we all did differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different world, and the one thing that I have faith in now, they might not have our work ethics. We were brought up...
It's because of the social media.
But I will say this. The world will be a better place.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a more embracing place.
Yep.
A place that accepts different lifestyles, different cultures, different ways of loving
mm-hmm.
than ours. So in that sense, yeah,
yeah,
it's a wonderful thing.
I don't think you've ever seen, like, a millennium that voted for Trump.
I want to say no, but I'm sure there. Look, there have to be some hard,
very, very low percent, or it's because of their parents. You know, like the Klan. You're not born to hate. You learn to hate.
You know, again, there are some hard right young people that you would hope to know better, but they don't. And I'm not going to say they're necessarily here. I'm sure there are a few here, but I would say they're definitely elsewhere.
Yeah.
And that's a shame of it. But, you know, again, bipartisan government brought about wonderful things. And if we can reach across the aisle and just make somebody see what we're talking about without killing each other, without smearing each other. We've done it for centuries.
Yeah,
why can't we do it now?
I know.
And that's the problem. It's grown
easier
a dialogue.
It's easier to smear each other now.
But you know
so
what?
So much easier.
And this is what we have to see. The Pandora's box was open. And now there's we're making America hate again. And that's really what we're doing.
Exactly. Not a great again.
No,
hate again.
Hate again. And that's the serious part of this,
yep.
As opposed to, you know, there was always that, you don't discuss religion and politics at a cocktail party. Everybody knew that. And if you did, one person might walk out of the room, but there was never this hateful, I mean, venom that we have now.
It's true, it's
and
true.
And it's because now there's more things at stake, and there's a lot of things at stake now.
Yeah.
And you don't want to blame one side, but it's really not us. We're not doing this.
And it's so funny because I don't even know if people see it. They don't see it, you know. They just see what they want to see, you know. They have blinders on to everything that's happening.
Well, you know,
and they don't know the real story. They don't know what's behind the story. It's just like because they think everything's fake news.
The problem is I think a lot of people are single policy voters, and they just vote for what they feel is important to them and not thinking, well, yeah, that's important to me, but what about other people?
What about my family? Or, you know,
Or what about
my kids?
The single mother that doesn't have health care?
Right. It's just this.
Why don't we care about that? That's the problem. I hate to say it.
They're usually people that think that if they can't afford it, they shouldn't be here.
Well, that's the problem. We have to stop thinking
about
ourselves.
It also goes back to the immigration and this and that. And,
immigration
you know,
is fine
listen,
if you're...
Listen, we could talk... Listen, I'm an immigrant.
Immigration is fine if you're from Sweden.
Right.
It's always fine.
It depends on your color, okay?
That's exactly what it is.
If people saw me and said, oh, you're fine.
Oh, yeah.
You're fine.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
But, you could be Italian. You could be anything. But...
I can't be Mexican or black.
That's right. And that's the way it is.
Shame.
So again, we push the envelope as far as we can, but hopefully we don't become offensive. And that's our show.
Woohoo! What a show!
We will put all that information
on
our page tomorrow. And you know what, people, this is theater, and I think that any funding in you have young people putting on a show. It's certainly
it's an important
worthy
show too.
Of a couple of bucks that you might have spent in Starbucks. Think about this. You might, if you want to give a couple of bucks, okay, it might cost you one Starbucks or two Starbucks coffees that you could probably do without the caffeine. So support some theater. You'll have a good night. And even if you can't make it, you're going to keep a production afloat that is sending a message that might resonate to somebody that you care about. So keep that in mind.
Especially if you have depression in your family.
And
you know,
who doesn't?
And a lot of people do.
I don't know of any family.
I think every house is affected by that. Every house.
I don't know
of And that's another topic that we will discuss on.
Yeah. Well, any family that has an issue of alcohol is usually self-medicating.
Of course. Any drugs are related.
So everybody knows this. And you know something? And if you don't, again, there but for the grace
then
of God.
Then you're blind.
There but for the grace of God, and be thankful and donate heavily. That's our show. Thanking Ricky Ziegelman for joining us.
Proud of her.
There we go. And my lovely co-host for Riding Shotgun.
Thank
lovely
you.
Ziegelman.
And my lovely
Mama,
co-host.
Mama Ziegelman.
And Mama Towers.
Thank you, darling.
The mama of all.
And we will see everybody next week. We're having Mindy on next week. And
Mindy's
we're gonna
back.
Do her
and then
show
we're
going to
go see her show.
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
In 2 weeks, we're going to do Mindy was on, and she's going to have a show off Broadway. And we're going to be going in a couple of weeks. She'll be on with us next week. And so will you be. So we expect to see you back the same place.
Same
bad time, same bad channel. Go out, make it a good day. Be productive. Be good to each other. Have a good one. See you next week. Take
Bye-bye,
us on, Mina.
Woohoo!